Good morning, and God bless each one that is here. I want to welcome the visitors this morning. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us. Is there anyone here this morning that is not interested in a faith in God? Nobody? Good. That's the way I thought it would be. We talked a lot about faith in our, well, Jared started out with faith, and then in our Sunday school lesson, we continued to study faith. Have you ever tried to mix water and oil together, water and motor oil or any type of oil together? Can anyone tell me why those two won't mix? Why won't water and motor oil mix? If you might have learned it in school. I didn't make it to that grade.
Different.
Yes, okay. I think in school they would tell you that they're polar opposites. This morning I want to talk about faith and unbelief, and the reality that these two will never mix. They are polar opposites. I found it a little difficult to study for this. How much Bible teaching do you mix with personal experience? And I want God's name to be glorified this morning and for us to be encouraged in our walk of faith. It's an unfortunate thing, but our culture is leaning more and more away from faith and more towards human reasoning and needing to see evidence, needing to see it before we believe it. And yet God's way is still that we will see it when we believe it. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Our decision to follow Jesus is not a once and done thing. It's one that we make continually, daily. And often, our faith is endangered when we don't understand the circumstances of life. When we rely on our human reasoning and things don't turn out the way we think, we begin to lose faith. And we can say, why is unbelief such a dangerous thing? Well, it doesn't take much of looking around to see that the devil is very, very busy right now. Very busy. Why are so many people losing out, losing faith in God, and unable to maintain their walk on the straight and narrow? God hasn't changed. His promises haven't changed. Salvation hasn't changed. And yet, people are falling away. Is it right that we would be concerned for ourselves, that maybe we could slip into this trap ourselves and for our families? What will it be that makes the difference for you and I? How are we going to maintain a walk with God to the end? Israel couldn't enter the promised land because of unbelief. And there's a lot of warning about unbelief in the Word. And so I want to focus mainly on what some parallels from Scripture this morning, and maybe avoid personal experience this time. We'll bring it in some, but I want to look this morning at causes. I've broken it into three parts: causes for unbelief, the effects of unbelief, and then some helps to help us overcome our unbelief. We'll be looking at quite a bit of scripture later on here. I want to look at the causes of unbelief. What is it in my life that makes me lose faith? How about times of ease? Times of comfortable living? For myself, it causes a lack of dependence on God. And therefore, we begin to depend on ourselves more. How about no persecution? We may be verbally scorned, but there is no real persecution today. What'll keep us separate? Another one is times of loss and disappointment. It is a very dangerous place to question the attributes of God, His love, His mercy, and the list goes on. But times of loss and disappointment, we can quickly question God's plan. The devil understands this, and he knows our low points of life. And he knows that these low points work against faith. They can work against faith. They can also strengthen our faith. The third one is the abundance of available information. And this is probably where my burden comes from. There is so much information, I'll just say, out there. And the internet, and there's all kinds of sources. They have helpful things, but they also have harmful things. And I've watched when people can take the road of, can we say, conspiracy, and the effects that that has on faith. And I believe we need to be watchful for this. It is a temptation to me, and I believe it is the devil at work, trying to make us believe like he made Eve believe in the garden, that we're missing out on something, or we're shorted something. The Bible teaches a simple faith in God. He wants us to believe that our own intellectual reasoning and personal analyzing will suddenly make us a smarter person and make us feel sufficient. We don't need We lack nothing. The fourth one I have is a lack of vision. Many of us know and can verbalize what we want in life for ourselves, for our families, for a church. But we lack the faith to see the vision through to a victory. And what I mean by that is we lack the faith. Our faith is lacking. And if our faith always requires action, and when we don't move forward in action on our faith, we lack the victory. Another one is because of our great abilities, or we think, we forget our need of God and what He's done for us. You can turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, I'll read verse 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall surely not die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I'm not going to comment a lot on this, but the temptation to think there's something better, there's something we're missing in life, we're deprived because we can't do this or that. Trap of the devil. Another one is questioning God's power. We'll read Psalms in Psalm 78. And keep in mind, these are all causes of unbelief. Psalm 78, verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore God heard this, and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came up against Israel, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation. Surely we would not doubt that God is able to do what he's said. But I have to think that if these people, after they were being led by a cloud and were receiving blessings from God, if they doubted, I think that maybe we should set up and pay attention, because it's going to be a temptation for us too. Is God actually able? If he sees the sparrow fall and says that he cares so much for us, can we truly just believe that? Those simple things of faith. Another one is discounting evidence. In John 12, read verse 37 to 43. John 12, verse 37 to 43. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things saith Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. We see it again here. Their faith did not lead to action because they were afraid of what men would think. Faith without works is dead. I hope that we would never discredit the evidence of God's hand at work. But there again, we witness people that saw miracles and saw what God was doing before their eyes, and yet they doubted. And so, again, I think it's a lesson for us. That faith is a choice. The evidence is there, but we must make a choice. Now we're going to look at some of the effects of unbelief on our lives. How does this play out in everyday life? You can turn with me to Matthew 13. Verse 58. Matthew 13 and verse 58 here. This is Jesus after he had taught in Nazareth, and they rejected what he was trying to tell them, the lessons he was trying to teach. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I had to think, what and how could we be hindering God's work because of unbelief in my heart? Another scripture is Mark 9 and verse 14. Here the disciples were with a young man that was possessed, and they were not able to cast the demon out. Mark chapter 9. And you do not have to turn to all these scriptures. I realize it is quite a lot. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. And when he was come to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, they were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whosoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to my disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered and said unto him, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago? How long is it ago since this came on unto him? And he said unto him, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit and said, and saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Again, the disciples lacked the belief. They lacked the discipline that it took to cast this demon out. And I like verse 23 here. All things are possible to him that believeth. Do we believe that? Do we believe that all things are possible? Everything that God has promised to us is possible if we believe. I want to look now at Hebrews 3, verse 15 to 19. This will be the last one we look up here for a bit. Hebrews 3, verse 15 to 19. While it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. The Israelites wandered around in the wilderness for many years, for 40 years, and could not enter because of unbelief. God help us that we don't wander in life aimlessly because of our unbelief. They missed a blessing. They missed the blessing of the journey because of unbelief. I believe another cause of unbelief is hardness of our hearts. The Word, God's Word, will no longer be able to penetrate our hearts if we do not believe. And I'll explain that a little bit. If we don't believe what God says, and we begin to discredit His Word, God will no longer lead us. He can no longer dwell with us. We begin to think that we know as much as the Creator Himself, and our hearts turn from His voice and become hard. If we are not listening for Him, then we will not be obeying Him. I think another cause of unbelief is discontentment in our life. We are so blessed, and we all know that. We have more than our basic needs. Every one of us do. But unbelief blinds us to the good things that God has given us. And it makes us focus, or we allow it to make us focus on the hard things, the challenges, instead of the blessings. Okay, enough negative. Let's look at the positive. Overcoming unbelief. How can we get past this thing of doubting God, of lacking the belief to move forward with God? I've already said this, but I'll say it again. The world says, "I'll believe it when I see it." God's Word teaches that we will see it when we believe it. We will see it when we believe it. And this is only by faith. This is not how our natural man works. We want evidence. We want proof. And God says it's all there. Put your faith in me, and then you'll see it. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you believe that God's Word is alive and powerful today? That it's written for us here today? Hebrews 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, and intents of the heart." Do you truly believe that God's Word is alive, and that the tests of time have not dulled that two-edged sword? So some helps. How can we move forward? I'd like to read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Here is what we are faced with, right here in Grand Junction. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'll clarify, everyone around the world is faced with this. To conform to the thought patterns of society around us. So one help is let's avoid the popular thought patterns that there's proof for everything and that we need to figure everything out for ourselves. Hey, Google says it all. And there's a lot of negative, false things on there. There's so many things in God's Word that are settled, that are final, and do not need rediscussed. Simply believe. If we drop down one more verse, here in Romans 12, for I say, through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. God has given everyone here a measure of faith. And we talked a little bit about, in Sunday school, is there different levels? Here's my thought on that. I think there is. But I think if we are, God gives us enough faith. I don't think any of us have this great warehouse of faith. But if he calls us to something, and yet he allows us to feel weak and sometimes incapable so that we rely on him. But every bit of faith, I think we need every bit of faith, every measure of faith that he gives us. We need to use it. Moving on here in James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? This thought of using the faith that God has given us, putting it to action, in order for our faith to be alive and to be vibrant, we must follow the design and the plan that the Creator had. And that is that our faith is put to work. When our faith is alive and vibrant and being tested, suddenly we begin to see God's hand at work. And this continues to strengthen our faith as we see God answering prayers. And the small things throughout our day, we see God at work. It strengthens our faith, and the cycle continues as we continue with God. Now, I know that each one of us read the Word. But do we believe what we read? And if we believe, are we doing what we believe? Are we open to what God points out to us on a daily basis? Can we allow our hard hearts to be penetrated by God's Word? Will it change us? This is faith in action. I want to close with a few questions ask yourself, what is it that could hinder us from living out the vision that we have for our personal families? Also, what is it that could hinder us as a brotherhood or as a church in going clear through from our vision to our victory? What is it that could hold us back? I believe, for myself anyway, the devil is very busy in trying to distract us to believe that, trying to distract us in unbelief. Let's read Mark 11, verse 22 to 24 in closing. Mark 11, verse 22 to 24. I believe this speaks of what we need today, a simple faith, a faith that is not wavered by all the things around us, a steadfastness in God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wherefore I say unto you, what things whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. I just want to say that God will supply your need as you ask God to supply your needs, that we humble ourselves before God and accept the journey that He has for each one of us. Let's kneel for prayer.